Hey everyone, welcome in to another Daily Editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Joel Alkonen. He is the co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show. Joel, I want to speak with you about year-end trading. Now that we're in December, there's always stuff that we need to understand that causes some short-term volatility and some short-term market moves that really don't dictate longer-term trends. Now, let's start off near-term because we are coming up to the rollover of futures contracts as well as a quad witch coming next Friday. Usually on the back of this, it's a high volatility type of day and trades. But what do you think investors should be paying attention to as we go through this undoubtedly volatile time?
Thanks, and good afternoon. Thanks for having me, Corey. A couple different factors at work here. One, what a year in the markets, right? If you're managing big money and you were down big money earlier in the year, managed to sit tight, you know, didn't, you know, sat through the rally, you're looking now at a decent year-end bonus. And with the kind of volatility that we've had this year, the little bit, you know, I think money managers are leaning a little bit towards taking some chips off the table, showing a good performance in a bad year, and then resetting with the new administration coming in January. The rollovers are volatile. They're switching from the December contract to the March contract. If you're long December, you need to sell that December by the March and vice versa. And it creates air pockets kind of in the contracts as the volume is split. And the rollover today, is really the official day, but money managers do it at different times. And that's why you're seeing really, so you had some air pockets in the market yesterday and today as well. Finally, you know, the elephant in the room is Tesla being added to the S&P 500 on that day of the quad witch expiration. And never is a stock as big as Tesla been added. It's going to move into like one of the fourth or fifth biggest issues moving into the index. So you had a crowded trade. It's coming off in today. People buy anticipation of it being added into the index and then sell to the indexers. Now, that strategy was working marvelously until today. I think Tesla did get an upgrade today. Don't quote me on that, but it's down $48. So that trade's coming off a little bit. And then also speculation on what stocks are going to be taken out of this, out of the S&P to compensate for Tesla going in. So a lot of stock expiring on the quad witch on Friday. The whole Tesla, the end of the year, locking in profits. A little bit of volatility will be for a flat to down market. I mean, I'm not looking for the market to fall out of bed, but I just think those are factors that investors should be aware of.
Joel, do you think there's any opportunity in, say, looking at the longer term trend, which right now for U.S. markets, you can argue that it's a bit extended, but long term trend has continued to be higher when you go through days like futures rollovers or even quad, which if you see some weakness in a big context of the longer term uptrend, is that a buying opportunity?
I more so look at, where the market goes off the board on the contracts, because a lot of times there are turning points in the market on these quad witches. Now, obviously, in March, you had a lot of volatility, right? And on that third Friday, the market bottomed nicely and rallied. The June expiration, you kind of sold off into the expiration, a little bit of a retreat, but found support pretty quickly after that and then resumed the rally. The September expiration as well, you sold off into the expiration and then resumed. So they're turning points. So I'm not going to try and predict what the turning point is, but when that, these contracts go off the board, that closing price to me and the cash and in the, which will then be the March futures, is important. Look for that as a benchmark to improve on the upper trend. If not, you certainly may have a reversal in trend if you don't get follow through do that expiration close. You'll see a lot of times there's a lot of, you know, things get really pumped up and it turns out to be a little too much. Sometimes they get sold off and that turns to be a little bit too much on the downside. But the last three have resulted in a culmination of some declines and then the market turns higher.
Now, what about playing that Tesla move? A lot of people obviously have already started to get into Tesla because it will be added to the S&P 500. But do you see more upside here? Or going back to your first comment, is this simply a crowded trade?
Full disclosure, own a sliver of that in one of my portfolios.
I don't think you're alone there, Joel.
Yeah, for a long time. And I have a hard time. I'm an old school guy. I have a hard time finding the valuation in the stock. And you could have said that a long time ago. A lot of people have got run over. I'll let the big boys, you know, slug it out. Today is a bad day. So when you have a bad day like this, you know, you want to, and now it will give you an opportunity to look at a potential retracement. I can look at a daily chart here in Tesla and just eyeball it here. You know, considering 590, let's say 588 holds as the low of the day, you had that all-time high was actually made today. So today's kind of a key reversal. You took out that all-time high and then you took out the prior day's low. So don't know what kind of bounce we're going to get out of this, but I think I'm not playing it. I'm not playing the S&P ad. I'm not smart enough to do that. But I would keep a close eye on that closing price from today. As far as support goes, I mean, this thing had a long consolidation between 400 and 450, broke out from the 450 level, then you got the S&P ad. So when I look at things, you know, old resistance, new support, and I'm sure your Tesla bulls don't want to hear this, but, you know, maybe test the top of that breakout range at 450. I mean, there's a lot of air underneath that. And there's, like I said, this is a crowded trade. This is the biggest red candle this she's had since September. And when it had that big red candle, that was just after the split. And it had some more red candles, folks. So I do see some more selling in Tesla before you get back up to that 650 area.
All right. So there, for everybody who is playing Tesla, or at least watching it, let's now just talk about to the end of the year, a potential of a Santa Claus rally, even the potential of fund managers, money managers broadly window dressing their portfolios at the end of the year to show that they are invested in the broad averages. How likely is that to happen?
Man, just the kind of year that we've had. I mean, you got to expect the unexpected, but I mean, if you're not in it now and you're getting in now, baby, you're chasing. So I don't see that. I think a lot of guys are maybe hanging it up after this year because of, you know, the volatility, and they escaped and getting out when the getting's good. But as always, you know, I like to keep an eye on, you know, not so much the highs and the lows, but, you know, the closing prices. And we had a couple successive days of all-time closing high prices, and now you're getting the retreat. So I just think I think Santa Claus came early this year.
You do. Hey, do you see if we do get some weakness at the end of the year, that carries over into early next year, and who knows, we start a bit more of a substantial correction next year?
I very well could be. I mean, a lot of people were looking for the market to go automatically down, you know, with the Biden presidency. That hasn't happened. I tell you one thing that could, and I don't think it's going to happen, with the double runoff in Georgia. I think if you get, two Democrats getting the seats and the Democrat getting the House majority, I think you'll see a more of a sustained sell-off. The market likes a split House, and that's what you have now, and it's teetering on going all Democratic. So I think that would be something that it could instigate a more of a retreat in the market. And, you know, I don't know who's declared the pandemic over, but I just don't think it's over. And I think the next couple months are going to be critical. With the vaccines rolling out, how people react to the vaccines, and just, you know, it doesn't seem like the market cares about people getting sick. They care about people dying. And so far, more people have been sick. The death rates haven't been that high. So that's what I would keep. Those two factors, the Democrats getting, you know, full control and, you know, a sharp spike in deaths as opposed to sicknesses in the pandemic, be something that could spook investors and have more of a sustained sell-off than one would normally expect it.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. That is true. Everyone is focused on deaths. And hey, hopefully we don't get that spike in deaths as we do have the rollout of the vaccine starting. Does that mean you see more of a trade into some of these safer assets? Bonds have sold off recently. Gold has sold off recently. Even the US dollar has been relatively, or actually quite weak. Do you see some of these snapping back?
What's safe, Corey?
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, you know, gold, you know, has a rally off the low, down $43 today. Is Bitcoin safe? It seemed to stall out at 20,000. Now it's back at 18,000. I mean, there has been a shift from growth to value. But it seems like, you know, the growth in the tech always comes back. So if you're, you know, keep an eye on your big guns, your Apples, your Microsoft, your Amazons, your Googles, your Facebooks. And as long as they can hold in there, and I think the market will hold in there. But if those start to give away, then once again, that'd be another indication of a deeper correction in the market.
Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up there because I think that is a key to watch as we move through the rest of this month and into next year. Joel, great chatting with you, buddy. I will post a link to the Benzinga website where everyone can listen to the replays of your pre-market prep show. Thanks, as always, for your time, Joel.
Okay, thank you.